In the introduction to Module 3, I told you that we were going to be talking about some bigger picture items. So I was going to be discussing some things that we're going to use in our work time, get us some working definitions so that we don't have so much to break out in the working time, because that's going to be all about assembly lines and zoning and really getting into how to use these components. In other words, how to use chunking, how to use feedback loops, all these things. The 80-20 principle that we talked about earlier, there's tons of things that we've talked about, and we need to begin to understand how to utilize them so that we can have the maximal amount of output for the minimal amount of effort. If that makes sense. That's what we're trying to do, we're trying to maximize our time. Feedback loops are something that do that, okay? Feedback loops they're apparent in really any system that is a working system, okay? We know them as feedback, for instance, in a sound system. That is a type of a feedback loop. Okay, and we actually call it's feedback, right? So a feedback loop, if you've watched the video on the Pareto principle or the 80-20 principle, I told you in there, the 80-20 principle or the Pareto principle, you can't apply that to your practice time till you understand feedback loops, because the 80-20 principle is not possible without feedback loops. In other words, getting unusually productive results for a minimum amount of effort is not possible unless we can understand the feedback loops and how to influence those feedback loops. All right, so there are two types of feedback loops. There are reinforcing or positive feedback loops, and there are balancing or negative feedback loops. I really don't like to refer to them as positive or negative, because in our mind that's like, oh, that's a good one and the negative is a bad one. Neither are good or bad. It depends on what you're trying to achieve. So I'll refer to them as reinforcing. That's going to be the positive, or the balancing. That's going to be a negative feedback loop. Okay. So feedback loops occur when a change in something ultimately comes back to cause further change in the same thing. So when something happens and there's a change, and it's going to come back to make a change to the overall bigger system, okay? A change in the same direction is a positive loop or reinforcing loop. A change in the opposite direction is a negative loop or a balancing loop, okay? Now let's kind of break out what that looks like. So for instance, if you're in your practice time, and you, a example of a reinforcing loop would be, you are making improvements in your playing. Every time you're learning a new exercise, you're improving your overall skill. So exercise, amount of exercise you know goes up, skill level goes up, all right? Or maybe you're trying to learn a certain number of styles. So you're trying to learn Latin, you're trying to learn jazz, all those. So as the styles go up, your overall skill level also goes up. So it causes a further change in your skill level. Learning a new style caused your skill level to change, all right? It improved. That would be an example of a reinforcing loop. Your change to that, in other words, learning jazz, reinforced your overall skill set and raised it, right? A balancing loop behaves in the opposite way every time it comes back around. So what does that mean? We just looked at reinforcing loop, like number of exercises that I know goes up, skill level goes up. They respond to each other in that way. That's a reinforcing loop or positive loop. A balancing loop, an example of that would be you play an exercise, and as you're going through the exercise, remember, I mentioned in an earlier video, balancing loops are goal specific. They're goal generated loops. So I'm playing an exercise, and I noticed that there are four problems in that exercise. Now, those four problems, I have to now set a goal. My goal is to play that exercise 100% effective. But right now, I'm out here. Right now, I have four problems. So we're going to think of this as a circle, and every time we come around, we get closer to our goal. So the first one I'm going to deal with is that first problem. And when I come around, I'm going to adjust one thing. Okay, that halfway fixed that problem. I'm going to adjust this other thing. Okay, that fixed that problem all the way. I'm closer to my goal in the center, okay? Now, I'm gonna go around again and fix that second problem. Got it all that time, so I'm closer to my goal. Now I got the third problem. Oop, that takes three times around. Every time I play through it, it's different. Okay, I got that. Then you hit the fourth problem, and then you have your goal. You finally, slowly gone around this issue until you get to the center of it, and now that's your goal-directed loop, right? So that's a balancing loop. You've balanced things out. So you see how that's not a negative thing. That's a good thing, okay? Now, they can happen at the same time. So in other words, loops don't happen independently of each other. We can have a reinforcing and a balancing loop happening at the same time. Let's take that same example. We have an exercise. We need to learn that exercise. When we learn that exercise, our overall skill level will go up. That is our reinforcing loop. That's our big reinforcing loop. Happening at the same time is that balancing loop, because I have four problems in that exercise. And once I've eliminated those four problems, I've learned that exercise. That balancing loop has come to a close. I've learned the exercise, so the reinforcing loop is my skill level has gone up. So I kind of finished the balancing loop, and at the same time, that caused my other skill set to go up. So those two loops happened at the same time, okay? They don't have to happen separately. It's not like an either-or situation. It is just they are happening. And we have to understand that loops happen, and we have to learn how to utilize those feedback loops. In the work time, I'm going to show you exactly how to utilize feedback loops and how to assess your playing in real time. Remember, one of the components we talked about for deliberate practice was you have to get feedback, right? I think that was the fourth component we talked about. There has to be a feedback agent. That feedback can be external. In other words, you have a teacher that gives you feedback. That feedback can be internal. You're self-assessing as you go and putting yourself through feedback loops. But all too often, we just run an exercise over and over and over without assessing what the problem is. I'm stumbling in that exercise, and we think, okay, what's that, you know, practice makes perfect? No. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So if you practice it wrong, you are going to permanently learn that thing wrong. What enables us to get unusually exponentially explosive results, this 80-20 Pareto principle deal, is what enables us to do that is the idea and the concept of feedback loops. Learning, okay, I did this and this and this wrong. I have three things in there that need to be fixed. I'm going to run this exercise until number one is fixed. I'm now running this exercise until the other. You are running a loop. You are running a balancing loop to overall make a reinforcing loop, up your skill level. Now, this gets into the first law of modeling, and I don't want to get too heavy into this stuff, but to understand, this is stuff that is applied in other fields. We could take it and apply it in our practice time. So the first law of modeling is, if you don't understand, I want to remember this correctly. If you don't understand a system's key feedback loops, then you don't understand that system. So when you're in your practice time and you're running through an exercise and you're screwing something up, but you don't understand where, then you don't understand the components of that exercise, and we need to slow down and understand the basic technique, the basic skills that need to be applied in this exercise. Then and only then can we build feedback loops and understand, okay, I see if I run this in this way, that will eliminate that, run it in this way. So once we understand the feedback loops, we understand the system. Once you understand that, then you are a giant step closer to controlling the system's behavior. And that's what we want to do. Our overall system is our instrument. It is ourselves while we're practicing. So we have to understand the feedback loops that happen within our practice time to be able to control the overall behavior of the system or of our instrument. Is that making a little sense to you? I know this is like, talk about the first law of modeling and reinforcing loops and balancing loops and positive and negative. What is he? This is a big concept, but it's the only way. It is the key element to you being able to see huge results in minimal amount of time. This isn't something that Stephen thought up. I didn't think up the Pareto principle. That's way older. It's hundreds of years old. I didn't think up the chaos theory. I didn't think up imbalance and stuff. I didn't think up the first law of modeling. All of this is thought up by other things. I didn't think up feedback loops. These are not new concepts. What they are universal concepts that we are going to apply to our playing, to our music. The Pareto principle, it's a universal concept. Feedback loops, universal concept. First law of modeling, universal concept, all right? These are things that have been proved. That's why they are called laws. They have been proved. It is just like the law of gravity is going to happen. If I drop a pin, it is hitting the ground unless all of a sudden I've been blasted into space and there's no gravity. There are laws that happen. If we get in line with these laws and understand them, then and only then can we make lasting change in our behavior and see the results that we want to. All right? So put in the comments your thoughts on the feedback loops. What are you? Is it opening your eyes a little bit? Are you seeing where you can apply them? Do you have questions about those? Put those in the comments. Again, I'm reading through all of them. And then jump over, if you haven't, watched the video on the Pareto principle, the 80-20 principle. Watch the video on multitasking, on task switching, and the costs that are associated with those. As well, jump into chunking and the ability to see the future, all right? That's going to be what we're talking about next. I want to talk about this idea of chunking. It is super important to be able to do this. It's done across fields, all right? It's not just something that Stephen thought up. It is done across fields, and it's what professionals do. It is the way that they're wired, and it's how they process information that sets them apart from the rest of everyone else and how they practice. Once you're done with this, put your comments down there, and then jump into the next video.